T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We could talk right now about measuring success in schools. And, you know, I was looking at a story from The Advocate back from October 6th. 44% of public schools got a D or an F in Louisiana's first ever round of letter grades for schools. And that was on October 6th. And then on this story from November 10th, while 44%, same number of Louisiana schools are again under special scrutiny, the picture is less dire than it was 8 years ago. The first story I read you was from October 6th of 2011. This story from November 10th of 2019. And state leaders are saying that 44% of schools were rated D or E, but that things have gotten better. State Superintendent of Education John White joins us. Good morning, sir.
Tommy, good to talk to you.
Good, appreciate your time. Tell me what the situation of the schools are now as opposed to 2011, because that number seems consistent, that 44%.
Well, the overall performance is up significantly, and you can see that in the article you referenced. It said that 44% years ago were DNF rated schools. I mean, we're still scrutinizing 44% of schools. We absolutely have to, but the number of D's and F's in the state has dropped by half.
So
that's big news.
I'm sorry, John, is it the same 44% that we're talking here, or is that just a coincidence that the number is the same?
I think it's just a coincidence.
Okay.
I mean, the what we're doing is saying, look, the overall performance of our schools is up. We have fewer D's and F's than we had years ago, and that's great news. But at the same time, we've got groups of kids within schools, even schools rated A and B. You know, maybe your kids with disabilities, for example, are really struggling in a school that's rated A or B. Well, just because your school's an A doesn't mean you're necessarily doing well, and we need those schools to focus on those kids too. So we're going to require plans in those schools, but overall, the number of D and F rated schools are down.
How do you go about grading them?
Well, it's got to be based on hard evidence. And of course, we look at things like graduation rates. We look at things like whether kids got their credentials to go on to get a good first job or go on to college after they graduate. We also look at basic skills. Can they read? Can they write? Can they do mathematics? Do they have a knowledge of our country and the world's history? Do they have an understanding of natural sciences? You know, these are the basic things of an education. What we're saying is there's a minimum standard that every child, no matter their zip code, no matter their parish, should have a quality education, and that's what we're going to measure.
Common Core, man, I'm going to tell you what, it was the hottest thing going about 4 years ago in terms of discussion. How has that played in all of this, John? Common Core standards, is that just now standard operating procedure? Has the public embraced it? Where does that fit into all of this?
Well, Common Core, states got together and developed a set of standards, which is, you know, what should my kid be able to do at a minimum by third grade, by eighth grade? We had some revisions to make to that, and so 4 years ago, Louisiana started writing its own standards, and we have Louisiana student standards now. So there's no Common Core in our schools. We have Louisiana student standards. But I won't back off the idea, and I don't think our educators will, that there do need to be minimum standards. There are Louisiana standards, but they've got to be minimum standards. Every student should be able to read and write if they're going to go, has to, if they're going to go on and get a good job, go on to college. Every student has to be able to do mathematics proficiently if they're going to go into college. And you have to draw a line somewhere. And that's what we do when we grade our schools. We say, these are our standards. And if you do well by them, you get an A. If you don't, you don't. And Common Core or whatever, you have to have standards.
When it comes to seeing where the students are and what their level of proficiency is in the different subjects, this is done every year by grade?
Every year by grade. And so then you ask yourself, well, you know, how is it different in Louisiana from elsewhere? How do we know what Louisiana's kids are really doing well? And all 50 states participate every 2 years in a test that is called the National Assessment of Education Progress, the NAEP. And that's to basically keep the states honest, say, are your students really moving when you compare them with other students? And this year, I'm very proud to say, we announced 2 weeks ago, Louisiana is the top-rated state in the country for improvement in mathematics in eighth grade.
Wow.
We're the second-rated, top-rated in the country for improvement in eighth grade reading. Louisiana still doesn't rank as high as we would want it to. You know, LSU football is doing a lot better than our schools are doing compared to the other states. But we are making progress. We made more progress this year in eighth grade than any state in the country.
Well, LSU didn't start in a hole. I don't think that you all did either. We're going to take a break, pick it up here, and we come back. I'm going to ask you what the improvement is can be attributed to. The other thing I wonder about John always when it comes to education is the part that the parents play in this, because I firmly believe that you could go to the most exclusive school in the state, in the city, and if you send your kids there and you think the teachers are going to take care of everything and it's turnkey, you are programming your child to fail. We'll pick it up here. John White, Superintendent of Education for Louisiana. If you have any questions, please text them to 87870, and I'll pass them along to John White, Superintendent of Education for Louisiana. 46 degrees, a 40% chance for showers continuing, and we have already reached our high temperature for the day. Tommy Tucker back in a flash here on WWL. 922, talking to John White, Superintendent of Education for Louisiana, about public schools. 44% of them were rated D or F back in the day. Now, 44% of the total are doing better. Clean that up for me, John. I don't think I said that quite right.
44% used to be rated D and F. Today, it's less than half that. And, you know, the Advocate article you said was right. It says, even though we've got a bunch of higher-rated schools, we're still going to keep focusing and requiring improvement plans of nearly half of our schools. So there's been huge improvement, but we're not stopping now.
So what is an A school doing differently than a D school or an F school?
An A school has a 90% graduation rate, has a 21 average on the ACT, and the average student there has shown full mastery of history, science, English, and mathematics. And it's as simple as that. I mean, those are the things that a great school does at a basic level. Now, there's a bunch of other stuff schools do. They have extracurriculars. They care for their kids. They take care of kids. No letter grade can capture all of it, but at a basic level, that's what a great school is doing.
So I guess that's what I'm talking about, process. Every day, you know, here we are Tuesday, another school day, and what are they doing at the A school during the course of the day that's going to be different than they're doing at a school that's a D or an F?
Yeah, I mean, that is such a good question. And you know, I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher by background. And when I walk into a school that's rated A, and by the way, it could be A because they're made huge progress, or it could be A because the kids are just performing at the very highest level. It can be both of those things. Mm-hmm. But when I walk into a school rated A, the teachers are prepared. They've got the most challenging lesson possible for kids. In other words, they're working with kids to read the most challenging books, to learn about their country's history, to learn about science and engineering, mathematics. And they're spending every minute of that lesson focused on getting students to the goal of being able to master that content. And that every day in and day out, ends up leading students to a real strong future in whatever they want to do leaving high school. The last thing I'll say is we know kids struggle. Kids struggle in every school. There's plenty of kids in A schools who struggle. But the best schools, they make the time necessary to catch that kid up and keep that kid on grade level moving forward. I think those are the things that the great schools do.
So in terms of A as opposed to F schools, and you mentioned the teachers being prepared, challenging the students, et cetera, at some point, do you have to teach the teachers about the methods that they need to use, or get people that are better suited to the job?
Well, I think that teaching teachers to teach is a daily activity in A-rated schools. There's not a good school out there that doesn't have a daily function for supporting teachers be better at their craft. I mean, you walk into a great school, and again, this could be a school that works with struggling students. They're making great progress, or just kids who are on top. But the teachers in there are always learning. They're always saying, gosh, this curriculum is challenging me. I learned something new about how to do it. This novel that I'm teaching, this laboratory experiment that I'm doing, I've learned a different way of doing it. In schools that have gotten complacent and aren't doing that, where they're challenging their teachers every day, then as we raise standards in our state, they're going to fall behind.
Is there any correlation between the amount of time that they've been there? I could make a case, John. It would seem like from either side of the table, I could say teachers that have been there for a long time are set in their ways. They're not adopting to new methods, and that people without experience, that much experience, that are excited about what they're doing would make better teachers. I could also make the opposite argument that the people that have been teaching for a long time know how to do it, and the people that are coming in younger may need to again learn from the older guys or women. Maybe I'm phrasing it clumsily, but is there any correlation at all between teachers that have been there a while, the technology that's needed, et cetera?
A little bit. In the first 3 years, teachers have a harder time of it, by and large, than they do in the rest of their careers. But after the first couple of years, those differences pretty much go away, and it's really about the individual. And you know, really, that's why, Tommy, in Louisiana, we've become the that now if you're a fourth-year college senior studying to be a teacher, you're going to spend your whole fourth year of college in a public elementary or high school learning to teach. You've got to be like lawyers, like nurses, like doctors, like architects, any other job that calls itself a profession. You learn on the job. And it cannot be the case that we have people coming into our profession in their first year and they don't really know what they're doing. The best way that I can think to help young teachers get a feel for what they're doing is to work under the mentorship of a master educator, a veteran, who for a full year can be your mentor.
So we're talking about basics with math and reading and English and science. What about advanced technology and getting today's students ready to go into today's high world with a high degree of technology? Do in any way these test scores measure that, John, or is it just about the basics?
Well, I think that, you know, at its essence, our job is to make sure our kids can read, write, and do mathematics, and we do need to have tests that measure that. But I'll tell you, some of the most exciting work is to recognize that the professions of today and tomorrow do necessitate different skills. They necessitate familiarity with technology. They necessitate problem-solving skills. They necessitate knowledge of engineering. And LSU's College of Engineering, I think, has stepped up to do one of the most exciting things in American education, which is to create a full pre-engineering curriculum in our high schools. It's now available to any high school. And rather than the kind of traditional old math and science sequence, any kid in Louisiana can now take a pre-engineering math and science curriculum that gets advanced credit in colleges of engineering around the state. And if they want to go down the road of a high-tech STEM career, they can come into college with college credit already prepared to go down that path.
Starting at what level, John?
Grade 9. It's 8 courses. It goes from grade 9 all the way through. It started at Lehigh in Baton Rouge, and it's flourished. We've got it in rural communities. We've got it in urban communities. The LSU pre-engineering pathway, I would recommend any high school, any parish in the state, take a look at it.
You know, I would think in addition to preparation, it would help them with discernment as well, because, you know, I had a friend of mine from high school, and a lot of people want to be engineers, but then when they get into that first year of college, they realize, whoa, hang on a minute, I didn't know all of this was involved.
Absolutely.
I guess it'd be a good way to help them discern as well.
Yeah, well, this is partially why I'm such a believer in revitalizing the career and technical education system. I mean, just because you take a couple of pre-nursing courses in high school doesn't mean you're destined to be a nurse for the rest of your life. But it does give you workplace-based experience. It gives you a sense of what people in the real world do every day. And it also, Tommy, as you said, it gives you a sense of this is what I may and may not want to do. I mean, you shouldn't have to borrow 3 years of college tuition before you figure out, you know, some sense that you went down the wrong path. And if we revitalize the career and technical education system, which we've done in Louisiana, we can get kids exposure earlier.
In terms of parental involvement, and I asked you this before we went to the break, I firmly believe, and I might be wrong, that you could send a student or your child to the most exclusive school that there is other than a boarding school. And if you think the teachers are going to take care of everything, I think you're positioning everybody for failure there. How do you get, first of all, do you think I'm on anything there? And secondly, how do you get the parents involved, which I think would be an important part of improving any school?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. The parent is the first teacher, the first teachers, and continue to be the most important. They're the ones that are with the child for the child's whole life and whole childhood, and there's no question the effects of life at home are huge. And you can't change everything about the effects of a child's home life just from the classroom. And, you know, you just can't do it. That being said, if you've got a tough situation at home and you've got a school that doesn't work for you, well, then you've really got two hands tied behind your back. And we do know that we've got a lot of kids in Louisiana, a lot of kids in America, who don't have a great situation at home. And that with substance issues and with the breakup of the family structure and so on, there's a lot of challenges for a lot of our kids are facing. And schools are being asked to do more. And is it fair? Probably not, but it's the truth that kids are experiencing a safe, healthy, nourishing, and fun place to be every day when they come to school, oftentimes more than they get at home. So we are being asked to do more, and teachers are doing more. I think the best way to get parents involved, I think, beyond just reaching out to them. I mean, as a teacher, I called home every kid I had. I called their home every week. I mean, you can do that stuff as a teacher. It's not easy. But also is to give parents a choice. You know, I'm not for charter schools versus traditional public versus Catholic schools or any other private schools. I'm for good schools. And I think parents know better than anybody else what school is right for their child. And when a parent is passionate about the choice that she's been able to make for her child, then she's going to get involved in the school. She's going to believe in the school. She's going to trust the school, and she's going to stay at the school. And if we get parents, no matter how much money they've got in their wallet, who say, I love this school, I chose this school, I want to keep my kid in this school, that's going to be good for those kids.
One selling point, I hate to phrase it that way, but one attribute that a lot of private schools like to put forth, a class size and ratio to students per teacher. Has that gotten any better, any worse, about the same, John, as it relates to public schools?
Well, I credit the legislature in Baton Rouge for stepping in and doing more this year to support teachers and to support our school systems. And you know, when our school systems financially are in a position to hire, then they're in a position to keep class sizes low. Look, I think that I've been in a lot of great schools that have small class sizes. I've been in a lot of great schools that have big class sizes. It's not to say that as a teacher it doesn't matter. It sure makes life easier when you've got a smaller class size. But it's also true that when a school gets really, really good, a lot of people want to go there, and that drives up your class size. So I think we have to keep those two things in balance and recognize that you can do a great job with a couple more kids. We've got to honor the choices of parents when we can.
Anything you'd like to add, John, before we let you go?
I would just say when you look at the national assessments, when you look at the graduation rate, the rate of kids getting tops and going on to college, and now when you look at the number of DNF schools going so far down, Louisiana's on the right track. We're not yet at the top in most measurements, but you got to start somewhere. We started in a challenging place. If we can keep our head down, keep focused on our kids, and keep holding high standards, our kids are just as smart, they're just as capable as any children in this country, and they're going to show us that.
Appreciate your time, John. I really do. Have a great day, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Tommy.
You bet. John White, Superintendent of Education for Louisiana. When we come back, we're going to talk to Barry Irwin, President of Council for a Better Louisiana, about schools in Louisiana. And an article I saw today, which I find interesting, a lot of young kids think that high school is enough to get a good job. And I know a lot of people say that, and I think it's true, that you can be a plumber, you can be an electrician, you can be a lot of jobs that don't require a college education, but are there enough of those jobs that are available? It's an interesting discussion. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love for you to text them to 87870. It is 9:35. We will be back in a moment on WWL. Let's take a look at traffic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.